This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Recently, Rick Joseph wrote a guest commentary in Bridge Magazine, and the title of the piece included the question, who am I to judge Detroit teacher sick-outs? So who's Rick Joseph? Well, he's the Michigan Teacher of the Year for 2016, and he joins us now. What did you mean when you wrote, who am I to judge Detroit teacher sick-outs?
Well, the reality is that as Michigan Teacher of the Year 2016, I always question my role. And what I've concluded is that my role as the Michigan Teacher of the Year is to be an ambassador for teachers, to be a servant leader, to be an advocate for education throughout the state. And Tim Fournier, who is an educator in Grand Rapids Public Schools, he tweeted a message to me and said, where are the public school teacher leaders in Michigan? What do they have to say about the sick outs in Detroit? And so in a way, he kind of shamed me into taking a position, if you will. And I've always fancied myself, at least since June when I was named the Teacher of the Year, as what I call a nonpartisan political actor, which means my job, and as I view it, is to bridge divides between partisan actors and a variety of the constituents in public education throughout the state of Michigan. But I've obviously thought a lot about the sick-outs in Detroit and the systemic inequities that exist in public education. And so I borrowed Pope Francis's famous phrase, and what I meant, of course, is that I am in absolutely no position to judge the actions of teachers in Detroit, in the sense that I really do believe that their actions reflect desperation, anger, frustration, fear over the future of Detroit public schools and public education in Detroit in general. And so, of course, the teachers in Detroit care deeply and passionately about the students that they serve. And of course, no one cares for those students more than the teachers in Detroit public schools. And they felt that they had to act. They felt that they had to engage in some kind of action to get attention. And that's exactly what happened. You had Ivy Bailey from the AFT who came to Detroit. You had Mike Duggan, the mayor, who walked through the schools, and they got the reaction I think that they wanted to get, which is pay attention to us, notice us. Let's move on this plan to address the issues in Detroit.
And the fact is, it hadn't been talked about outside of the schools or outside of the legislature, and the conditions of the building. The buildings were not really known until they brought attention to it. So I get your point. I want to talk to you about your own experience as a teacher in Chicago, where you spent about half of your career, and now being a teacher at Birmingham Covington School. Tell us how they differed.
Well, I became a teacher because I wanted to address what is now called the equity gap, what's also known as the achievement gap, or the reality that public education for the average Latino or African-American student is not the same as the quality of the education for the average European-American or white American child. By the time they get to 12th grade, there's a gap. There's a readiness gap. There's an achievement gap. There's an equity gap in terms of access to resources and access to opportunities and outcomes. In Chicago, of course, I worked with an immigrant Mexican population, 100% free and reduced lunch, people whose parents worked incredibly hard, but they worked perhaps two or even three jobs to make ends meet, people who desperately believed that here in the United States of America, they were going to have a better life for themselves. I earned my national board certificate and then started getting into teacher training and an awareness of the inequities that existed with the placement of effective teachers in high-needs areas in Chicago public schools.
You're teaching disadvantaged students, minority students. How's that differ from who you're teaching now, and what do you take away from those two experiences?
Well, in the Bridge Magazine piece, there's a line that I quote from Aaron Roach, who's now a principal in Chicago Public Schools, and he and I worked together for a year on a design team for the National Teachers Academy in Chicago, a teacher training school, and he said, good teaching is good teaching is good teaching. The point is, regardless of the population of students you serve, there are certain skills and dispositions and qualities that effective educators have that make them good at what they do. Obviously, there are a difference in terms of the school readiness, the socioeconomic background, the life experience of students who live in urban areas or even in rural areas in poverty compared to students in the communities of privilege or middle class communities in which the parents are educated. They travel a lot. They have enough food to eat. They have a roof over their head. They never have to worry about these basic foundational needs, they're present. They're there for them. So there are a whole lot of privileges and advantages that kids in certain communities have that people who live in those communities cannot necessarily even imagine not doing without. And so at the end of the day, the way I teach is very similar to the way I taught when I was in Chicago Public Schools. The communities and their readiness has a significant impact in their overall achievement as measured by standardized tests, for example. And therein lies the challenge in the ways in which we assess and evaluate schools, if we only do that in terms of test scores, as opposed to other perhaps relative measures, then we're not necessarily understanding the entire picture.
You concluded in your commentary with the sentence, "Public education and creative, nimble public education systems must be cultivated on behalf of all students to help us make Michigan the great state it can and should be." What do you prescribe to accomplish creative, nimble public education systems?
In the last 20 years, we've had a lot of school choice, and school choice in and of itself can be a very, very effective component of an effective public school system. The challenge, of course, is when that choice is unregulated, when that choice is not coordinated as part of a larger whole, then the existing systems will decay and implode as we're seeing throughout the state. And of course, the communities that are seemingly provided choice are the ones that really have false choices, because the quality of the choices that they have are not necessarily great choices. However, if we had real choice, if we embrace true choice, that would mean that a child from anywhere could truly go anywhere. And that's certainly not the case. Children ought to be able to have agency and ought to be able to have a voice in terms of what they would like to learn and how they would like to learn it to an extent. And that choice ought to exist in conjunction with their teachers, of course, and with the administration and with parents in a given community. The issue is when choice exists in a vacuum. Choice in a vacuum doesn't work. And it has to be contextualized properly. And so as the Michigan Teacher of the Year, I've had the benefit of traveling around the state. I've visited with students and teachers and administrators in rural areas, in suburban areas, in urban areas. And I've seen the impact of choice that is not thoughtful. And so I would advocate for thoughtful choice and for enshrining models of public education that are balanced and that are contextualized in a way that they meet the needs of the students that they're intended to serve, and that they don't necessarily create a liability for systems that arguably should still exist. I think one of the key issues, Lester, is that we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. You know, when you look at systems like Detroit, Flint, what's happened in Highland Park and Benton Harbor and Muskegon Heights is that there have been issues with accountability, let's say, in terms of the ways in which districts have managed or handled finances and the way they've applied them. But that doesn't mean that the system needs to be discarded wholesale. And I really do believe that's what has happened and that's what is happening. And I don't think that that's appropriate. I think that there's a way to enshrine choice or to have choice within existing systems without having to destroy those systems wholesale.
Rick Joseph is the Michigan Teacher of the Year for 2016. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.